Blog Talk Radio.
Out there in Blog Talk Radio land, this is your host and friend, the Sand Tiger, DJ Southie Vince, coming at you from a place called Durham, North Carolina, and this is Black Bipolar only on BNM Radio. On this show, I will discuss current events and issues that affect the black race and take on the apostles of blackness. Hopefully, you'll get something from this show, and if you have a question or a comment, make sure you season it well with respect, or I'll push the kick button, and you will suffer the curse of the fruit bat. So don't come here being a fruit bat, as this is a fruit bat-free program. You are listening to Black Bipolar Only. In. Hope today finds you doing well. If you would like to be a guest to call into the program, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And you can call in and talk about anything that is related to the subject matter, but I will give you a word of warning. There will be no character assassinations. There will be no ad hominem attacks. There will be no trolling, no excessive profanity, things of that sort. If you feel like you want to engage in those type of activities, I will advise you not to even integrate onto this program, because I will be happy to oblige you and kick you off. Okay, I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. When you come here and you want to make a dialogue with me or whatever, you want to make a discussion or something, do it in respect, okay? We don't need all the kindergarten sand-slinging events on this program, okay? So just be aware of your respect level. And if you're a person who just doesn't want to walk in respect, then this show is not for you, okay? And something I announced 2 weeks ago, if you're a person and you come on here and let's say today you're disrespectful, if you decide to come on next week, I won't have you blocked. I won't have you blocked. I'll give you a chance to, you know, hang yourself with your own rope or whatever. But if you come on here five straight times you're disrespectful, you will be kicked off five straight times. Okay. I want to keep this channel open for the dialogue. And if you ever get to the point where you say, okay, you know what? I don't like what Vincent is saying, but you know what? I'm going to show a little respect, you know, then, you know, you'll be welcome on this show. Like I said, I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. Just be agreeable in your dialogue on this show, and you should have you shouldn't have any problem from me. So, but anyway, those of you all who were looking for me last week, You probably noticed I didn't have a show last week. I've decided to take off every first Saturday of the month. Every first Saturday of every month, I won't have a program that gives me time to do whatever with my wife or, you know, extra work I had to do around here. And also this year on May the 19th, that's in about a month and a half, I won't be having a program because my wife and I, well, not May 19th, May 20th, excuse me. May 20th of this year, I won't be having a program on that day because my wife and I will be going out of town. So just to let you know ahead of time that I won't be having a program on May the 20th, okay? But once again, the first Saturday of every month, I won't be having a show. So, and I'll try to announce that for the next several months because sometimes people might hear it the first time and they might be like, hey, Vincent's not having a show today. I wonder why. But I'm going to keep on announcing it for maybe the next several months until people can get it that, you know, I won't be having a program on the first Saturday of every month. But once again, on May the 20th, which is next month, another month and a half from now, I won't be having a program. So having said all that, wow, people, past 2 weeks, man, I tell you, the news world has exploded, really. You know, you got the indictments of, you got Donald Trump being indicted for whatever crime he's accused of. They really haven't been clear on his criminal activity, you know, whatever it is they're accusing him of. They keep saying, you know, the money he gave to Stormy Daniels, it was a finance, campaign finance violation or some mess like that. But they say have him indicted on 34 counts, and he could spend the next 136 years in prison. Of course, he's not going to live that long, but that's 4 years per count. You know, and if you were to ask me, these are all bogus. I really do believe that they are bogus. They've been trying to throw things and have it stick on Donald Trump since 2015. Nothing has stuck. And these people, they just keep trying and they keep trying. And I really do believe they're in a moment of desperation because as each second, every minute, every hour goes by, that's just another second, minute, or hour. We get closer to 2024. And they don't want Donald Trump in the White House. They don't want him to win the next election. So they're going to try some desperate measures. If this one doesn't stick, which I don't think it will, I could be wrong, but if these allegations do not stick, they're going to try something. And I'm going to say something, and you're going to hear it here on this program. I really do think someone's going to get desperate enough to actually, there's a possibility that someone might even try to assassinate Donald Trump. Now, I'm not a prophet. I'm just going by what I know, how these people act. You know, I am not saying that it is actually going to happen, but I would not be surprised, because they do not want him to be our president. Of course, you know, the last presidential election, these people were so desperate enough that they were willing to cheat to make sure that Donald Trump didn't make it into office. And if you ask the average person, what is it that Donald Trump has done to elicit your ire against him? A lot of people, they can't come up with a straight answer. They say, well, it's all the lies he told. Okay, tell me what the lies are. Oh, all the things he's done. Tell me what he has done. They have no clue of why they do not like Donald Trump. They can't name one specific thing that Donald Trump has said or done, which is the reason for why they hate him so much. And what you're seeing going on with Donald Trump is all because you got a bunch of people who hate him. And they're willing to make a mountain out of a molehill, because they're growing desperate that, hey, Donald Trump might win this next election. We can't have him back in that White House. So we have to come up with something that's going to stick. And like I said before, the liberals are the only people, when you cry wolf a million times, if you cry wolf a million and one times, they will still believe it. And these people, one thing I have to admire about them, they do not give up. They are not giving up on this, which is the reason why I believe that they're going to get desperate enough. Somebody's going to get desperate enough to make an attempt on Donald Trump's life. I really do believe that. You don't know what you're talking about. Well, you can say that all you want to. I'm just making a guess here. I'm not, like I said, I'm not a prophet, and I'm not sitting here saying that God told me this and everything, you know, like some people do, and God ain't even spoken to them. But this is just a guess. But I really do believe that a lot of people out there are growing so desperate that somebody might try to make an attempt on Donald Trump's life. Now, you can say what you want to. You know, you can say what you think and everything like that. You can say about me whatever you want to. You're not going to intimidate me. All you're doing is strengthening my resolve. That's all you're doing. But having said all that, had something interesting happen in Tennessee this week. I'm not going to go into all the elaborate details and everything and stuff like that, but it seems that some Democrat representatives in the state of Tennessee, they wanted to cause some trouble during an event at the Tennessee, at the state capitol, the Tennessee state capitol, I believe it is, and they got kicked out. They got kicked out of this event. And not only that, two of them have been relieved of their duties as representatives. Now, what I saw on TV, now, this is the thing that gets me. Now, they go up here and they talk about, oh, these people were peaceful. Now, once again, you can't lie to a person who sees what is really going on. And these people, they got in there, they started to ramp up the crowd with a bullhorn, and the crowd, they were talking about guns. They were talking about gun reform and stuff like that, you know, because this so-called transgendered boy who was actually a girl, went into a Christian school, church school, and shot it up, killing three adults who were in their 60s and three children who are each not age 9 years old. Now, the problem with this is that no one is blaming the killer for this event. Matter of fact, I saw one news report that said, you know, that shooting in Nashville, it really had seven victims instead of six. And they included the shooter as one of the victims. Now, how in the world are you going to say the shooter was the victim when the shooter was the one that killed these people? And then, you know, the police came in. And they took her. She's not a boy. She is a girl. But they said she was a victim too. And the thing that gets me is you go to the certain news outlets and whatever, they're over there talking about, you know, oh, let's stand up for the transgender. You know, you had the Country Music Awards. I forgot the name of the singer, but she had all these transgender people dancing with her up on the stage, these transgendered women. Which I was like, I didn't know transgenderism had such a hold in country music. But I digress. I digress. But everyone is coming out in defense of the transgenders because they're now, oh, the transgenders are scared. Oh, we need to support them. Excuse me. It was a transgender jerk who came into this school and shot this school up. And now you want to defend transgender saying, oh, they're living in fear now. Their lives are in danger. Whose life was in danger when this transgender was going through the school shooting it up? Hey, Retta, how you doing? Whose lives were in danger when this transgender came into the school? Killed the leader of the school, one of the teachers, and a beloved janitor, in addition to 3 9-year-old children. Whose life was in danger then? But of course, we got to get political about this. You know, oh, the transgenders, they're in danger. How are they in danger? Can anyone tell me how many transgenders have been killed? This girl went into the school and shot it up. How many of them have been killed? I mean, you know, someone tell me. But anyway, that, you know, that right now is not my point right now. Or maybe it is. But, you know, these representatives, they went into the state capitol of the state capitol building of Tennessee. One of them was, what was his name? One of them was a Tennessee representative named Justin Pearson. Looks like a giant Q-tip with that afro on his head. But he's an activist, basically, you know, and he tried to wax Martin Luther King Jr.-ish the other day when he learned that he and a colleague of his, I don't know who the colleague is, but they were going to be kicked out of their jobs as representatives. They were voted out. And my wife, bless my wife's heart. And when I say that, I'm not saying that to be derogatory, because sometimes people say, bless your heart, and they mean it to be derogatory. But bless my wife's heart. You know, she showed a clip of this. I think it was on Ben Johnson radio program. He does a podcast on YouTube. And he gave an excerpt of the speech by this dude. And I told my wife, I said, can you please cut this off? Because I tell you, I listen to these people. They come out with the same garbage all the time. They come out with the same garbage. And I'm going to play a clip. I'm going to play a clip of what he said at this meeting before he got the axe the other day. And I'm telling you all, if you can stomach it, just listen for a couple of minutes if you can.
Friday, the government decided that my Savior Jesus, a man that was innocent of all crimes except fighting for the poor, fighting for the marginalized, fighting for the LGBTQ community, fighting for those who are single mothers, fighting for those who are ostracized, fighting for those pushed to the periphery, my Savior, my black Jesus, he was lynched by the government on Friday. And they thought that all hope had been lost. Oh, but the outside, it rained, and it thundered, and everybody said everything was over, and it was
threw up a little bit in your mouth. I can understand why when you heard that. This guy gets up talking about Jesus, you know, he wasn't guilty of anything but helping the poor and speaking out for single mothers and speaking out for the LGBTQ. LGBT. Can someone show me anywhere in the Bible where Jesus stood up for LGBT? Someone show me anywhere. And then he gets up. My Lord and Savior, my black Jesus. And see, this is the thing. Retta. You know, it's like, you know, when you hear these rascals talk, when you hear these clowns talk, you want to drive around the city to see where the circus tent is, because it ain't nothing but a media circus. That's all it is. And you listen to these rascals talk, and you're like, you got to be kidding me. Now, he wants to get up there talking about my black Jesus. Now, see, that's another thing that really gets me about, you know, these black folks that follow in the Democrat Party. They always want to talk about black Jesus. They're not going to talk about Jesus. They're going to talk about black Jesus. Now, my question would be to them, who in the Sam Hill is black Jesus? Because the only person I know is Jesus. Olive, brown, I don't care who Jesus is. All I know is I'm going to follow his teachings. That's it. My black Jesus, he trying to sound like, you know, he trying to wax like Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton and William Barber and all these other civil rights activists. And he's trying to play up his getting kicked out of the Tennessee representation. He's trying to play it up like, oh, I've been, you hear what he said? He said, yeah, it was a lynching. A lynching. Well, I'd like to tell him that I think the only thing that's been lynched is his common sense, really. That's the only thing that's been lynched. And I listen to these guys, and I'm like, man, here they go. And see, this is the problem. This is one of the main reasons why I have this program, because a lot of black people, I would say of all the demographics in this country, that shows a lack of common sense. I think black folks are the top of the list. We are so gullible. A lot of us are very gullible. We just go by anything without reading or researching or anything like that. And this guy's like Justin Pearson gets up, starts to talking, and we're like, oh, that's deep. That's so deep. Ooh, he's so deep. Oh, yeah, all right. And they get up here. They don't know what they're talking about, but people listen to them, and they think, oh, man, I just got a burst of knowledge. No, you got something burst in your head, but it ain't knowledge. Like I said, the only lynching is your common sense. Yes, gullible and overly emotional. Thank you there, Retta. Yes, that is the best way to describe most people, most black people in this country. Gullible and overly emotional. Just fall for anything, because we think the government is our savior. They talk about Jesus like this guy did, you know, my black Jesus. But you don't care about Jesus. You don't know squat diddly about Jesus. All you do is give Jesus that black moniker because you want to say that he's down with the cause. But you're not going to listen to his teachings. And this is a tactic by those on the left when something negative happens to them, especially if they are black. They always want to fall on the victimhood mentality. Throw down that, they throw down two cards, the race card and the victim card. Those are their double trump cards. But I this is the thing that irks me about a lot of us in the black race. This is why I do this program. This is why I do this. Because some of us, we are just so blind. We don't care. We allow somebody else to feed knowledge into us. And the people that are feeding the knowledge into us, they really don't give a flying flip about what they feed us. It's their way of getting you to believe what they want you to believe. And that's what's happening with this young man right here. And if you are liberal and black, there is no wrong that you can do. Get up there and put your hand up in the air, the symbol of black power. Really, be honest with you, I think the symbol of black power should be the limp wrist, not the raised fist. Because you listen to these people talk, and they talk about black power, but they act like they ain't got no power. We can't get ahead because the white man is keeping us back. We need certain programs because it don't sound like you have much power to me. Sound like the white man pretty much still has power over you. Black power, black power. And then you got a bunch of gullible black people who don't educate themselves on the candidates. They just go by what they heard on the news. They go and vote for these people. And they vote for them every single year. And things keep getting worse and worse, but they turn around and keep on voting these same people in every year. They've been doing it since the 1960s. Been doing it for almost 60 years now. And no one ever comes to themselves or has an eye-opening moment and says, wait a minute. We've been voting these people in, but things are not getting better in our communities. We voted for this person because we thought they were going to help us out. We voted for that person. We thought they were going to help us out. But we are still in the same position we've been in for 60 years. And there's a saying that says, if you keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result, that is the definition of insanity. And this is what keeps going, that the black communities, the communities continue to crumble, but they keep voting these people in because, she's black or he's black. And not only because they're black, but because they're black and liberal. I put up an article on my Facebook page this week, and those of you all who come on this show, you hear my introduction, you know I live in Durham, North Carolina. And our local newspaper around here was featuring the leadership of Durham, North Carolina, all of them women and all of them black women. Now, Durham has experienced an explosion in crime here lately. Seems like, but they want to celebrate these black women for the lead. One of them is our mayor, Elaine O'Neill, and another one is our chief of police. I forget her name, but I know Elaine O'Neill is our mayor, black woman, chief of police, city manager, and city lawyer. I think city attorney. All four of them are black women. Instead of putting their feet to the fire and saying, we see your black women and everything, they want to celebrate these folks. oh, it's good to see a black woman in this position. It's good to see somebody who represents us in this position. And see, that's your problem. You're so stuck on representation that you totally ignore putting their feet to the fire for the job that they haven't done. And they get up there and they're like, yeah, we're going to do something about the crime. No, 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 you're not. No, you're not. You're so concerned about police brutality, power of our law enforcement, because you think it is detrimental to the lives of black people. And this is why your cities go to crap. That knucklehead up in New York, Bragg, the one who passed down this indictment to Donald Trump, he doesn't even care about the crime in his city or in his state. Is it the city? He doesn't care about the crime that's going on in New York City. He doesn't care about that. All he cares about is getting Donald Trump. Because if we get Donald Trump, we get him down, oh, everything's going to be peaches and cream, sunshine and rainbows. Folks, we live in cuckoo banana town. These guys, oh gosh, I tell you, you know, and you all know that this indictment against Donald Trump is nothing but political. It's nothing but politics. It's nothing but politics. And if people would be honest with themselves, they're like, they favor Donald Trump being indicted simply because they do not like him. But that's somebody, well, no, I don't like to get in politics, but if I was in a position and I was running for election and someone come up to me, what are you going to do for black folks? I'll turn around and say, what are you going to do for yourselves? Because see, if you're an elected official, you're not sitting there wondering, what are we going to do about black folks, or what are we going to do about white folks, or what are we going to do about Hispanic folks? When you are an elected official, elected by the people, your concern should be, what can I do to make my community, my city, my state, or my country better? Bump your skin color. If you all are not willing to deal with your personal issues, look at yourself for the faults that are going on in your communities. There's nothing that a government official can do for you. Black folks have the same opportunities, the same resources that white folks have. And they cannot sit there and talk about, oh, well, we're falling back because, you know, the white people, they got everything. So who's holding you back? Who's holding you back? You got libraries, you got the internet, you got Google. You can get a job anywhere. I've never been held back by a white man from getting a job. Not unless he thought I wasn't qualified. Now, that's something different. If you ain't qualified, you just ain't qualified. It has nothing to do with a man being white. But you got some people, they, you know, oh, no, he didn't let me have a job because I'm black. Now, I listen to these people, and I'm like, oh, gosh. You know, sometimes you just want to bang your head on the tree whose bark you chewed off. I mean, really, it's like that. And I'm going to say it, and I say this ad nauseum on this show. I hope I'm saying it ad nauseum. I hope I say this so much that you are getting sick and tired of me saying it. But this is why I'm so hard on black folks who are supposedly Christian. Because they fall right along these lines. They fall right along these lines. Instead of judging their communities based on the word of God, they always want to judge their communities based on some social program, politics, skin color, civil rights. They care more about that than they do the word of God. We all know, or we should know, that abortion is the most heinous form of murder that exists in our land today. But a lot of so-called black Christians, they still vote for these people, these liberals, these social liberals, because of social programs. And they say things like, oh, I know abortion is wrong, but if we vote for this person, it's in support of social programs that could deal with abortion. You know, they'll say things like, you know, if we deal with these social issues, we won't have to worry about abortion anymore. That's garbage. So you're saying that, okay, I'm going to vote for this ungodly person. Which, let me tell you all, most of your politicians are probably, you know, they're not Christian or anything. You know, and I don't vote for anybody based on if they're Christian or not. I vote for folks who are basically close to my point of view. But you want to vote for this person who is clearly against the Bible, supporting the LGBTQ issues, supporting abortion. But you just wholeheartedly go and vote for these people. And then you turn up on church on Sunday morning. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And then when these liberal-minded politicians win their elections, you're up there celebrating in church a person who gives no flying flip about your beliefs or your Bible or your God or your Jesus. They don't care. I remember when Stacey Abrams made a trip to Creflo Dollar's church. Creflo Dollar basically encouraged his people to vote for her. Let me preside over a church, and someone like Stacey Abrams came up in there. I probably changed my sermon that day. Before I even got to the end of the sermon, Stacey Abrams would have hauled her tail up out of there. Because I'm not going to sit here and celebrate you because you're a politician. Ooh, look, there's a black woman politician. Look at her. She don't even respect your belief system. With the mindset that many black people have, there is no government program on earth that could fix these folks. Retta, oh my goodness, you have hit the nail on the head. We need to first look in the mirror to see if we are directly responsible for the current predicament we're in. What decisions have we made that directly affected us? The government can't help us. Wiser words have never been spoken. The push right now is for reparations. And you got certain cities talking about, oh, we're going to pay black people reparations. How is that going to help the black community? Because I can guarantee you what would happen is a lot of black people will take that money, waste that money, and then they say, oh, the reparations weren't enough. They weren't enough. We need more. We need more. You give them reparations. Let's say you give them all $4 million apiece. That still won't be enough. Let's say you cordoned off part of the United States and just said, okay, black people, move there. You'll be separated from these white supremacists and everything. That won't be enough. Nothing you do for these rascals will ever be enough. And just like my sister Retta said here, the government can't help us. They can't. Because no matter how many bones you throw at us, it's never enough. It's never going to be enough. But then they will look at something that should be their responsibility and try to put that responsibility on the government. But you're not even looking at yourself and saying, how can I be a solution to this problem? How am I helping to perpetuate this problem? They don't do that. They don't do that. It's always someone else's fault. Kids acting a fool in school. White man's fault. Black folks shooting each other up, shooting up the neighborhoods, white man's fault. Black folks strung out on drugs and all this other stuff, white man's fault. It's the white man. It's the white man. I mean, some of the stupidest arguments I've heard from people, you know, I hear people talking about, well, the reason why black men on drugs is because, you know, the FBI sent agents into the black neighborhoods and introduced drugs to them. But I'm sitting there like, I was born on a Wednesday, but I wasn't born last Wednesday. You do realize that you have a choice. You do realize that, right? Now, when I was coming up in school in the 70s and the 80s, they used to have all these campaigns against drugs, don't do drugs, don't, you know, and they gave us the names of the drugs and whatever and stuff like that. They said, don't touch these drugs and whatever, LSD, mushrooms, amphetamines, all this type of stuff, even marijuana. And when I heard what those drugs could do to you, I made up in my mind, I ain't never doing drugs. I haven't so much as smoked marijuana. When I heard that LSD can cause some people to think that they can fly and people were getting killed jumping out of buildings because they thought they could fly, I was like, I'm not going to take LSD. They talk about the high crime statistics in our communities, and they say, well, the white man introduced guns, and that's why we're shooting each other. Excuse me, you still have a mind. See, this is the reason why these people, that I tend to laugh at these people holding their fists up talking about black power. Because the way you say it, the white man still has the power over you. Like the white man came up to you and said, hey, brother, come here. Look, I got this here gun for you. Won't you just take this gun and go out there and shoot up your fellow black people? And if you don't do it, you're going to have to deal with me. So shoot up a bunch of black people. I mean, for real. For real. They actually believe that because there's a high crime rate in black neighborhoods, it comes from white people introducing guns to us. You have the power to make a choice. But you want to sit there and blame it on the white man. It's the white man's fault. Let's see, bro, a dude in Chicago won $30,000 on the lottery and purchased a $30,000 bling chain to show off in the hood. See, that's what I'm talking about. He went to the neighborhood gas station and got beat down and robbed. Do you know what I would have done with that $30,000? I know what I would have done. This is the mentality I'm talking about. What do blacks do when they get a hold of money? Bling, diamond grills, chains, clothes, etc. Ever wonder why black sports players who were given multi-million dollar contracts go broke and end up homeless? Yep. A lot of us don't even know simple economics. We don't know simple even economics. And when I say we, I'm not saying I'm one of those two. You know, I'm just saying we because I share the same skin color. But we don't even know simple economics. No one's saying you got to be an economics major or expert or anything like that. I mean, certain things are just common sense. You come into $30,000. And you're just going to buy, you're going to blow it all on a gold chain. I wouldn't even buy a $30,000 gold chain if I had Donald Trump's fortune. If I had his fortune, I wouldn't buy no $30,000 chain. Are you kidding me? And the reason why I won't, I'm not all caught up in jewelry. I'm not a person who wears jewelry. I think the last piece of jewelry I wore was my wedding ring. I don't wear my wedding ring a lot. And it's not because I got trouble in my marriage or anything like that. I just don't wear my wedding ring. My wife doesn't either. She doesn't wear hers either. We still got them, but, you know, we just don't wear them. I think the only item of jewelry I wear is a wristwatch. I don't get caught up in jewelry. Look at that. Dude ran into the store. A group of black thugs chased him there, beating him and kicking him and stole his chain. Yeah, he was dumb. Yeah, he was dumb. He has nothing to show for $30,000. Hey, ain't you the guy that won that $30,000? What'd you do with it?
I bought a chain, but someone stole it from me.
How much that chain cost?
$30,000.
Everybody point your hands this way. And Pianki, you make a very good point there. And see, this is another point about that disruption in the Tennessee State House or Tennessee State Capitol. You're not going to hear about them. You're not going to hear them excoriate the protesters like they did the people on January the 6th. And they said they were peaceful protesters. They took over the state house, went in there, and they were talking about, you know, something about getting rid of guns or something like that. And the police about that on the same level as January 6th. They're not going to talk about that. They don't want to talk about that. Because they have chosen the side that they want to be on. And I saw that, and those of you all, you know, I played a recording earlier of Justin Pearson, and that's the type of people. That's the reason why black people can't get ahead. Saying that Jesus spoke out for the LGBT folks. No, he didn't. Just lying, and he talking about my black Jesus. That was a lynching. Don't know nothing about Jesus. Talking about his Lord and Savior. Well, if black Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you're in trouble. Because Jesus didn't come here and talk about how black he was. And you got people going around talking about how black Jesus is. Like I said earlier, all they want to do is say, Jesus, down with our cause. Yeah, he's the most famous man in America, in history, in world history. He was a black man, so he's down with our cause. No, he's not. He is not down with your cause. Matter of fact, Jesus look at you standing up for your cause. You know the thing that Jesus is telling you to do? One word, repent. Because your cause is not in line with his teachings. Your cause makes false accusations against people who are innocent of those accusations that you hurl at them. Bearing false witness against your neighbor. Your cause deals with, you know, all types of cheating and bribery. And you want to talk like Jesus is on your side? I guarantee you. I can almost guarantee you. Justin Pearson and his lackeys in Tennessee, I can guarantee you they do not read the Bible. I can guarantee it to you. And Pianki says, just as members of the Black Panthers done when they barged into the California General Assembly with weapons, causing the members to flee for their lives. Yep. Well, oh, that's nothing. Oh. They're standing up for a righteous cause. Let's demonize the protesters on January the 6th. Those are real demons. They killed people that day. One lady said she was slipping in blood. They killed 5 police officers that day. Only one person died that day. And it was a Trump supporter who was shot by a black security guard. She was unarmed. And he took it upon himself to shoot and to kill her. He should be in prison, not the January 6th protesters. So, you know, some of them did do, you know, breaking unlawful entry into the Capitol building. I would give them a slap on the hand. Couple of days in jail, boom, you're out. Get out of here. Don't do it again. But this dude, we should never see him doing an interview on the news ever again. Because if you ask me, it was cold-blooded murder. And y'all, see, Yahweh, Retta, she's doing her thing again. She said, I'm sorry to say that blacks will never get ahead collectively. And a few of us who dare pull away get ridiculed by folks who look like us, who try to corral us back to the plantation. Oh, gosh. I need to give Retta a recommendation or some advice that she needs to sit down and take her little pearls of wisdom and put them in a book, because she has hit the nail on the head once again. Pianki says, sad thing, blacks will follow them fools. Like the New York black male mayor. Oh, gosh. Yeah. Oh, man. Y'all. I was telling folks about, you know, they were celebrating that Lori Lightfoot. She's no longer mayor of Chicago. Oh, yeah. All right. I said, ain't no time to celebrate. Because she's going to be replaced by one of these. I don't have his name, but they say he might be worse than Lori Lightfoot. And this same cycle of crime is going to continue in Chicago. Mark my words. The mayor-elect, what's his name? I think Pianki put it here. Brandon Johnson, yeah. Told a group organizing for a police-free future that black people should be removed from state-sponsored policing as a way to fight white supremacy. Yes, and I have read that. Pianki needs to write a book, too. Boy, Y'all need to stop coming to my show and take the time to write that book. Yeah, and that's a sad and sobering thought, too. He says, Johnson also claimed in a debate that standardized tests have roots in eugenics to prove the inferiority of black people. Johnson also said just weeks ago he never said defund the police. Oh, yeah, right. Despite stating during a debate that defunding police is not a slogan, it's an actual real political goal. You see how these people, you know, they think people are not reading their receipts. They come out here and see, the reason why they think that, because a lot of people don't. This is why they're not held accountable, because people forget what they said in the past, because, you know, they're not reading the receipts. And no, Pianki, I cannot imagine a sound-minded person voting for someone like him. No. Mm-mm. You cannot be of a sound mind. You're going to vote for someone like this who talks out of both sides of his mouth. One day he's saying, defund the police. The next day he's saying, I didn't say that. And y'all continue to vote for these people. Look at their receipts. We don't care about that because, he's fighting for the man. Yeah, he's fighting against the man. He's fighting for us. He's black. He's going to fight for us. But they won't get that same courtesy to someone like Clarence Thomas, who people are trying to demonize him now, because apparently a GOP donor has been giving Clarence Thomas a rise on his yacht or something like that. Something that's probably totally, you know, innocent, you know. I mean, and they're saying that he didn't inform somebody of, you know, this guy giving him rides on his yacht and everything. Look, if I had a friend and he said, hey, Vince, hey, I'm going to go on your yacht. I want you to ride on my yacht. I'd be like, okay, cool. I wouldn't mind riding on a yacht. I don't want to buy one, but hey, you want me on your, hey, shoot. But the question I need to ask, though, is it wrong if somebody who is rich is inviting you to ride on their yacht or in their limousine or something, do you have to really report that to certain committees or whatever? Why can't you just say, okay, all right, he's offering me a ride. I'm going on his yacht. Big whoop. People do it all the time. Somebody, you know, I mean, Maybe I'm missing something here, you know. But once again, I think it's been two people that folks have been really overly demonizing lately, and that's been Clarence Thomas and Donald Trump. And maybe I don't have some type of understanding of what's going on here, but to me, you know, Clarence Thomas riding on a yacht from a GOP fundraiser or whatever sounds to me like a totally innocent thing for him to do. But I could be wrong. I'm just saying. I don't know all the ins and outs of the campaign finances and all that crazy mess. But I could be wrong. But to me, it's like a witch hunt. It's all it is. It's a witch hunt. Chicago Mayor-elect Brandon Johnson told CBS News on Thursday his plan to tackle the city's crime problem. Send more. Yeah, I saw that too, Sarge. I saw that too. Send more social workers to crime scenes. I saw that too. Yep. Yeah. But anyway, I think I got a little bit over time. Let me go to the advertisements, and when I finish, I will come to the phones. You are listening to Black by Color Only on CNM Radio.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I don't know how to talk like a parent. Don't make me come back there. You see what I mean? It's pretty awful. Try it again. Don't make me come back there. Now, that's pretty good. That one kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
For the past few months, we have not heard from our good friend and mentor, our very own Uncle Ben Fisher, but he has been around, though very busy, starting businesses and trying to get things going where he is. So his show has been put on hiatus for now, but in the coming month or so, we are looking to see him return to CNM as he is about to retire and will give him more time to let us know all the things that he has a good ear for hearing. Ben's mellow voice and his expertise in engineering, along with his love of America, keeps us all informed as to what we should be doing and why the things are happening here in America as they are. The only side that seems to have consequences anymore are the right. The left can do anything they want, then blame it on the right, and always laying the blame where it shouldn't be, and they always get away with it. This has to stop. Listen to our very own Uncle Ben Fisher when American by Design returns soon on Sundays, where America always wins.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
The top of the hour of hour two, and if you would like to call in, the call-in number is 646-478-5284, 646-478-5284. And before I go any further, I just wanted to I've been doing this theme song for I don't know how many years I've been doing it, maybe 10 years. It's called Hitman by Kevin McLeod. Is that how you say it? McLeod. But anyway, you know, I chose that song because I on Blog Talk Radio, I used to do a show called True Sharks. And that song sounded kind of sharky to me. And that's why I play it. You know, I'm pretty soon I'm going to start my True Sharks podcast. I had a show called True Sharks, and this show right here used to be a part of it, and I liked the song because it sounded kind of sharky to me, you know, and everything. But pretty soon I should be starting up my own independent podcast, and I invite you all to come out, listen to it, and whatever. I have some guests. Probably have some guests coming on and things like that. And it's going to consist of this show and my other one, Profit or Loss. So, you know, just to give you all a heads up. And also to give you all a heads up, once again, I made the announcement at the top of the first hour. But every first of the month, I won't be having a show. And that's just to free up more time for me and my wife to spend time with one another. I was very blessed to have time with her yesterday. Earlier this week, Wednesday, my boss man, he said, okay, Vince, well, you're getting ready for the holiday on Friday. And I said, a holiday on Friday? I said, we don't have a holiday on Friday. It's not on our calendar. And he said, well, you can take that day off, just, you know, ask so-and-so, you know, email so-and-so, and, you know, and so I did, and he gave me permission to take off yesterday, and I had it all planned out. I said, you know what, I'm going to pretend to my wife that I'm going to work, but I'm going to the Waffle House, because my wife loves the steak and eggs at Waffle House. She loves steak. And so I said, I'm going to go to the Waffle House and get a steak and egg for it and everything. And I was going to get me some breakfast too. And when I came back in, she was surprised. She was like, "Oh, wait a minute." I said, "I took off today, sweetie." So, but she was pleasantly surprised at that and everything. So, you know, but won't be having a show either. My wife and I will be going out of town to Goldsboro, North Carolina, and I won't be having a show on May the 20th. So just write that down, put it on a sticky note, put it on your wall, put it on your forehead, put it on your TV or whatever, you know. So, I'm going to do this for the next several months, you know, and make the announcements about me not having a show on the first of every month, because, you know, I just want to free that time up and everything. But, you know, I'm not going anywhere. No time soon. Even though I'm going to start a podcast with this show and another show, I'm not leaving Blog Talk Radio anytime soon, unless something very big comes up or something detrimental or something like that. But, you know, then you know, I'll make the announcement and whatever, but I'm not going anywhere anytime soon. But anyway, you know, it's been a couple of weeks now, and, I'm pretty sure somewhere, some fruit bats are looking to attack me. My fruit bat alarm. Y'all know what that means. When you hear that alarm, that means if I go to the phones and you're a person who just invests in disrupting this program with character assassinations, ad hominem attacks, excessive profanity, things of that sort, it will prompt me to push the kick button and you will go bye-bye. So I'm going to let you know, you're on the phone and you think you want to indulge in that type of activity, then, you know, I'd advise you to hang up right now, you know, because if you don't, I'll be happy to oblige you. And before I go to the phones, you know, I need to chastise Retta right quick. You know, she said I was talking about that song that I played during my intro. And she knows. She talks about Sharknado. She's been trying to get me to watch Sharknado for the past several years and everything. I've seen Sharknado. Sharknado sucks, okay? I know a lot of people like it. It's one of those so bad is good type of movies. And Sharknado sucks. And she always teasing me about Sharknado. And the funny thing about it is sharks are my favorite animals. So that's where I came up with the name for True Sharks. But anyway, let me go to the phones. I did my fruit bat alarm. Okay, if you're going to be a fruit bat, okay, you got your warning. Hello, welcome to the show.
First of all, how's Irondale doing? You doing okay? You hear anything from him?
Irondale is doing good. Matter of fact, he is in the queue.
Bring him on in.
Let me get him in here then. Let me get Irondale in here. Hello, Iredale. Welcome to the show. You got somebody who's willing to talk to you right now.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I'm willing to talk to him because he's been real nasty to me in a fun-loving way in the last few weeks. But I'm doing good down here. But I will say this. This is not the sunshine in Florida, which raining all day today. But I'm doing good. My daughter's released me. Last time I talked to you, my daughter's family and kidnapped, but they're coming back down to see their daddy in about 2 weeks. So
okay.
They're doing good, and I appreciate everybody keeping me in your prayers and everything. I'm doing better, but just keep me in your prayers, okay? I'm doing good.
All right.
Well, we keeping you in your prayers. We sprinkling water around the house, and we spreading blood around the door and all that kind of stuff. doing voodoo dolls. Send me some of your hair so I can do it right and put it on this doll.
You know what? Wait, what's your address? I'm going to catch a flight out of Pensacola, Fort Walton Beach to tell you about yourself. Man to man, state to state. And when I get finished with you, you will not have a toenail to stand on, okay?
Well, I'm just trying to be helpful and considerate, you know.
Well, if you being helpful like that, let me put it like this: with enemies like you, with friends like you, I don't need no enemies. Let's put it like that, sir.
All right. But anyway,
but I'm glad to be on the show. I don't really have nothing to say. I'm glad to just be on the show and everything, and still I'm on the land of liberty and everything. I just want to say that as you get older, you get wiser, and you get better. And as my oldest daughter's first name implies, wisdom, you get a lot of wisdom. I don't have no more to say. Just listen to the rest of the show.
Oh,
thank
okay.
You for
all right, that sounds good.
All right.
Yeah,
but
good to hear your voice again.
Yeah,
no problem.
But you know, Vincent, you were talking about Chicago. I put a story in the chat room about those two women. I thought it was three that was standing on the corner praying, and somebody drove by and shot them, killed them.
See?
Go to
show
you
I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, these people are beasts, man. They are really they demons.
Man.
They are demons.
This is craziness, man.
They need to, you know, I can't tell people what to do because I don't live in Chicago. I wouldn't live there. I don't even want to travel through there because it's just too dangerous.
Yeah.
And I use the analogy that I live for more than just myself. Because if something happened to me, then you got young people that's dependent on me, then what they going to do? But I wouldn't travel through that city. And these are blacks. These ain't no white folks. To face the criminality in this country are the black male. That's what it is.
It is.
It's the black male. People say that, well, these red states got more crime than any place. You're damn right they do, because it's those blue cities and areas within the red states where these black males are committing all this crime. Over 50% of the homicide, over 30% of the rapes as reported by white women. They're just completely out of control. Now, there is ways to bring them back into control, but nobody want to do that. But sooner or later, people going to say enough is enough, and they're going to do what the hell they have to do.
Yeah.
That's what I see.
And I know I've been doing this thing for, good gracious, for 14 years now. And, you know, it really still boggles my mind. It frustrates me when you get people up, they totally ignore the solution, but they always want to cry, I'm a victim. And they want to, you know, praise the likes of Ketanji Brown Jackson and that airhead who's the press secretary for the White House right now. And they always want to fawn over them because they're black and all that and everything, but they totally ignore what the problem is going on in our country. And when you point it out to them, they want to say, oh, you're just rocking the boat and, you know, you're a coon and you're a sellout and all that crazy.
Yeah, you're right. And let me make this clear. It's not all black. You got some black kids out here that's doing marvelous things. But guess what? They don't get no recognition for the things that they are doing on merit, not on inclusion. They're doing it on merit. They don't get no recognition because that don't fit the narrative. It's just like this mayor in Chicago talking about standardized tests is nothing more than a sign. What did he say? It ain't genocide. I forget what word he used. Man's crazy. That's one of the most dumbest things I've ever heard. It really is.
Yeah. And you know, people singing the praises of people like Mayor Bowser of Washington D.C., which is a city I'm very familiar with, And, you know, that, oh, she's black. But, you know, and yet and still you got someone like a Clarence Thomas who's being accused of, you know, this not disclosing. I forget what I can't put it together, but, you know, he was taking rides on a yacht by a major GOP fundraiser, and they're talking about he didn't disclose that and everything. And I'm like, does he have to do that? Does he have to disclose that he took a ride on a yacht from a major GOP fundraiser? You know, like I said, you know, I don't know all the details that go into this. So, you know, if anybody's out there, you know, explain it to me, you know, because I don't see the problem with it.
And he used to be, this guy here, Brandon, used to be a school teacher, man. He's been pushed by the teachers union. You know what that means. But he's going to say that standardized tests have been placed against black folks and used violence against them like policing. Well, hell, in your city, Chicago, you had over 3,000 black millionaires move off of North Shore Drive. That's the street that overlooks the lake. Why did they do it? Because of the crime. Where did they move? They were moved probably to Olympia, Illinois. And they're not moving to no all-black community. They generally move to a majority white community where the police department is generally all white or nearly so. So what does that mean? That means two of your favorite talking points is thrown in the trash can.
Yeah. And you knew it was a problem when the Chicago Bears said we're moving out the city too. You knew that was a problem. Like, oh my goodness, you know. I mean, them rascals said, you know, we don't want to be in Chicago. I think they're going to be in a suburb of Chicago. I forgot the name of the place, but you know, they said they're moving out of Soldier Field, which Soldier Field is one of the most iconic stadiums in America. And you pushing them out of Chicago, it's like, you know what, y'all got serious problems. You got really, and people were sitting there celebrating that Lori Lightfoot is leaving, and I was sitting there like, she's only going to be replaced by another Democrat. She's going to be replaced by another liberal, and people going to sing his praises, and he going to run the city into the ground. But oh, that's okay. He's black. He's a black liberal.
And then the comment,
yes, we will sing his praises.
Then the comment about the widespread looting taking place and about stores leaving, and he comes with some lame brain excuse saying these companies have insurance and assurance. In other words, it's okay to go ahead and bust out their windows, run in there and steal stuff because they got insurance to pay for it. Well, goddamn, who you think is going to pay for the insurance and how is it going to be paid? Then that's going to further prevent people from coming to the store because they're going to have to raise price for the added cost, added security, and all the things that go on with outrageous runaway crime.
Yeah. And then they're going to be the very same people complaining about prices going up. They're going to be the very people talking about that, but you don't want to deal with the crime or nip this thing at the bud or anything, but you're going to sit there and talk about the prices going up. I mean, it's crazy mess. It really is.
In the debate, he said that standardized tests have roots in eugenics. Well, eugenics, how the hell does standardized tests got something to do with eugenics? Eugenics when you're getting rid of somebody.
Yep. Like the Gambo project.
And Margaret Sanger's eugenics program. That's eugenics, dummy.
Exactly.
That's my goodness. I didn't even realize you said that. I may not be the last the rest of this story. I'm mad now.
Don't get too mad. And those of you all, if you're writing in the chat room and I'm not responding for some reason, my chat room just shut down. I don't know why I did this. It says this chat room is for private users only. I don't know why it's doing that, but that's okay. As long as you can hear me at the sound of my voice and whatever, that's probably all that's needed. But, you know, just want to give that as an aside. So
But, and those two legislatures in Tennessee should be charged with leading a insurrection.
No, Bianchi, you got to understand, you know, they're down for the cause, man. They're not insurrectionists. They're down for the cause, man. They're not like those January 6th protesters that killed 5 cops.
And see, here's another thing. You got people hollering racism, talking about this is a reflection of Tennessee's long past. You're damn right it's a reflection of Tennessee's long past, because legislatures have been removed before and they was all white. And they commented about the female, it was 3 of them, that the female, she didn't get removed. Well, no, because they voted. They voted on the severity of the infraction. They broke the rules. They broke the rules. They all had, all along have been talking about we need to have more representation in the government. Well, you join the club. But see, you want to join the club and you want to change the rules on your behavior because you know you're going to have some ratchet behavior going on up in there and you don't want to be punished for it. No, they should punish them to whatever the law requires.
That's right.
And it's a rule of the club. It's the rule of the club. If you join the motorcycle club, you're going to follow the rules. You join the Black Panther, you're going to follow the rules. You join the Congressional Black Caucus, you're going to follow the rules. But you don't want to follow those rules like that. Anyway, bring Sarge on in here. Or whoever's next.
Well,
I know he's got something to say.
Well, we don't have anybody else in the queue right now. So Sarge is in the
I hold it down.
So,
you got a constitution.
Say again.
You got a constitution there with you. Pull up the First and Second Amendment when you get a chance, because you got some people that
don't
know how to read. And what they read, either they don't understand what it is they're reading, or they don't want to understand what they're reading. Then they're talking on a radio to a black audience, and you know how they are.
Yeah,
you know how they are.
Reading is too much of a chore for them. Reading is boring, so you know they absolve themselves of doing that simple thing basically, and they want somebody else to feed the information to them, so they don't have to look for it for themselves. You know, mentally and intellectually lazy. That's what they are. You know,
I heard a lady on radio. Chicago show. Her name was Dorothy Pilk, longtime civil rights activist. And then she had a caller call in, apparently a preacher, female. I've heard it before. She's Muslim. And they was talking about the First Amendment, said that Congress done that because they wanted to separate the religion. And they identified themselves as being Christian. Okay. But that ain't what the First Amendment say. See, people come up with all these doggone what it says and stuff and what it should say, right and wrong. It ain't about right and wrong. It's about the law.
Yeah.
Amendment 1 says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Now, you just stop right there. You don't have to go to free speech. That means that the government should not have any government-sponsored religions.
That's right.
And then when you look at the time frame when this was written and to see what was going on, you know what they're being said.
Yeah.
Amendment number 2, a well-regulated militia, one part of it, being necessary for the security of a free state. The second part, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Shall not be what? Infringed.
That's right.
Look at the etymology of the word infringe and look at the date in which the etymology became into existence for this word. You're talking about the 15th century and so on. The time frame that this was written. And it means exactly then like you would think it means today. You should not be hampering people's right to bear arms.
Yeah.
You should not be coming up with all sorts of schemes where they have to do registration. They have to come up with all these histories. They can only be limited to so many bullets. They can only be limited to a certain type of weapon. That's a bunch of bull crap. If you want a cannon, you can have a cannon. If you want a slingshot, you can have a – if you want a spear, like you can chomp like they were doing over in Africa, you can have a spear. What's that mean? But now what you got –
Did you hear –
now what you have
– Did you hear Whoopi Goldberg Whoopi talking about, you know, why does a person need 75 guns in their home and everything? I'm like, none of your business. That's none of your cotton
well,
picking business.
You
got to
wear all them clothes. Them layers of clothes, Whoopi.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and did
Looks
you
like
hear
a bump on a law?
Yeah. But did you hear about the law that they passed in North Carolina within the past couple of weeks?
What does it say?
Well, we don't have to go to the sheriff to register to get a handgun now.
You should be just able to go to the
target. Yep, and they, of course, you're still going to be subject to the background check, which I don't have a problem with. But I tried to a couple of years ago. I was like, let me see how much it costs to register to get a handgun in North Carolina. It was $100. Now I don't have to pay that $100. I can go straight, buy me a gun. Of course, they're going to do the background check. And that's it. Of course, I'm going to do my training and, you know, things like that. And I'm not going to just get a gun just to say, hey, I got a gun. You know, look at
that's
my
the
gun.
Way it, that's the way it should
know.
Be.
Yeah. And I heard that law. And it passed by a huge margin. I forgot what it was, but it was a pretty big margin. And I said, oh, sounds like somebody in North Carolina got some cotton picking sense for once. You know, so
well, you
the
know,
other day I was looking at.
Here's the thing. Did you know that the laws that you live under, only 6% have been voted on by Congress? Did you know that?
Yep.
4 to 6% has been voted on by Congress. The other 94 to 96% are rules made by bureaucrats that Congress never vote on.
That's
whether
right.
Whether it's the AFC, whether it's alcohol, firearms, and tobacco, whether it's the IRS, whether it's the EPA. They make the rules that you live under, the laws that you live under. That's what they are. They call them laws. They ain't nothing rules.
Yeah, that's all they are.
Before one of their rules come into effect, it should go with the Congress, and Congress votes on it. Three-quarters of the Congress votes for it to pass. Because some of these rules are totally out of ridiculousness, just like we talk about the restrictions they want to have on guns.
Yeah.
And then another thing you need to know, every year you have 5 robed people that amends the Constitution. 5 robed. That means Supreme Court justices.
Yep.
With their decisions that become presidents. Constitution started off with what, 27 pages? Now look at it.
Yeah.
And Supreme Court justices, the Supreme Court judges didn't always do that.
Yeah,
for the first 130
right.
years, then they come up with all these interpretations that suppose interpretations of the Constitution. You don't have to have interpretations of the Constitution. You're supposed to interpret the law. You're supposed to apply the law.
That's right. You know,
Alexander said that the court has no will and no force. And people need it because that's the first thing these leftists do. Well, we're going to go to the Supreme Court. And then when you have people like Clarence Thomas and Kavanaugh who's going to do the right thing, or should I say make the right decision when it comes down to abortion, They want to hang out in front of their house and threaten them.
Yeah.
Where was the support for them?
Mm-hmm. That's right. I mean, for real, you know, and it's a game of where people just take sides. We like this guy, so we're going to favor everything that he's about. We don't like this guy, and you know, no matter what good he does, you know, it's, you know, we don't care about that because we don't like him. You know, I heard someone say something interesting today. I don't know if it was Benny Johnson or what's that Jewish guy, Ben Shapiro. They said, they were saying that people claim that Donald Trump is just pure evil. He's pure evil. And they said, well, no, Donald Trump is not pure evil, because then that would be the devil. You know, you're not going to have a person who's just pure evil or pure good. You know, everybody's going to have their flaws about them and everything. And he went on to say that, you know, maybe Hillary Clinton could have done something good for that. I'm not saying that overly good, you know, because, you know, Hillary Clinton, you know, that's somebody I wouldn't even recommend anyone voting for, but she probably could do some good things too. You know, she's not completely evil or anything like that, but you know, it's all about whose side you're willing to take. You know, who do you want to give ear to? And it's sad that it has come to that. Instead of taking sides, we need to use a little common sense and understand who is really, what the issues are and what people are really, you know, we need to look at their past. That's the main thing we need to do. We need to look at their past, see how they govern wherever, see how they voted and whatever, and then we can say, okay, well, I know this person's going to do this, but just go up there and just bounce your lip off and say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and, you know, and then you get elected, and nobody even remembers what your promises were, you know. And the thing that gets me is when, you know, these people get into office and they run their community, their state, or their country into the ground, and people still have their back and say, they did a good job, you know, like they did with the Obamas. You know, Obama did a good job. Nah, the only good job he did was being elected because he was a black liberal. That's it. You know, that's the only good job he did. So, you know, but people keep
saying, well, yeah, you know, you talk about politicians. The state of Louisiana, and I was asked to look at these, it's got about 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 Senate and House bills that they're recommending. And you would like these, you say, yourself. Senate Bill 7, all sexual material should be banned from minors. Senate Bill 63, churches have fundamental rights. In other words, sheriff can't come in and tell a preacher that you can't have service because we got COVID. Nope, can't do that.
Yeah.
House Bill 466. In schools, a person should be referred to by their biological birth.
Sounds like common sense to me.
House Bill 311. Money from the likes of outside a foreign organization. You can't do that, Soros. Or your funded organization. House Bill 68. Bible history should be a course in the school system.
Wow.
House Bill 152. Parents have fundamental rights. Fundamental rights. It means that the parents know best for their children. Not a teacher. Not a teacher working under the auspices of Title IX, as Joe Biden wanted to set it up, where a teacher can recognize your child's desires, whereas you probably wouldn't go along with it. You the parent.
Yeah.
You got the exceptions from immunization for children and adults on the House Bill 421 in their workplaces. In other words, your HR person, human resource person, can't listen to your immunization exemption claim and say to you, I don't think that you are sincere in your religion. So we're gonna deny it.
Wow. Mm.
This is a good one. House Bill 372, Louisiana will not be mandated by foreign organizations like the World Health Organization. And the other one, I can't think of, IHC. And you know what they was trying to do and what they got in mind on. No, you can't do that to the United States. And yes, I see it on this one, HB 463, that the state is setting that gender reassignment procedures and any altering of a child's biological sexual identity is illegal. All that just makes good common sense, but you have to ask yourself, that day, why do you have to have laws for these particular things? Does that not be natural?
For real. I mean, it's just common sense for real. I mean, we shouldn't even be talking about these laws. We shouldn't even be talking about them. You know, I also read this week that in Idaho, they're making it illegal for you to cross state lines to get an abortion, which I think that's a good step in the right direction. But yeah, why are we talking about these being, you know, why are we talking about a house bill to make all, to make a provision for this type of stuff? We shouldn't even be, it shouldn't even cross our minds. Be like, man, throw this mess out. You know, you look, if you're a boy, go to the boys' bathroom. You're a girl, go to the girls' bathroom. But I'm a girl and I think I'm a boy. No, you're still a girl. Go to the girls' bathroom. You know, I mean, it boggles the mind.
Look what the governor of New Mexico done. Or should I say Mexico legislature. What's that woman's name? Doggone it. It skips me right now. But anyway, Michelle Lagoon Grisham. They got a law now, and they put an abortion clinic right on the border with Texas. And you can get an abortion anytime. Matter of fact, a woman can be laying on the table pushing the baby out, and when the head pop out, she can say, hold it, abort it. No, abort it.
Wow.
And they put a clinic down there on the border between Texas so that it make it easy for people to walk over who don't want to be the victims of Texas law.
Yeah, exactly. That's why they do that, yeah. Because they got to get that money.
Now, what doctors is going to kill a baby that's, the head is right there coming out of the vagina? What doctors would do that?
Yeah.
But don't you, I'm going to tell you something. There are some wicked people out there. That, I think these people are aliens. I believe they are.
Yeah, they probably are. I mean,
these
for real.
Are aliens. That's doing some crap like that.
Yeah. And the thing too, I was listening to a guy just this morning, and he said, you know, a child is not a child unless it can breathe on its own. And he said, you know, in the Bible, it talks about, you know, when God created Adam, he put the breath of life in him, and he breathed, and he was, and he's trying to say that the Bible is saying that you're not a human being until you can breathe. You know, but the Bible also says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And also in the book of Jeremiah, it says, God was telling Jeremiah, he said, I knew you before you were even in the belly, which means God even knew who Jeremiah was before he was even conceived. You know, and I listen to these people trying to make excuses for abortion. They try to go into the Bible and say the Bible approves of abortion. No, it does not. Nowhere does it approve of abortion. But, you know, still they keep coming, you know. And these are people don't even read the Bible. I'm like, you don't even read it.
Whoever said that is a dumbass. Whoever said that is a dumbass. Don't fish breathe on the water? You take them out of water, what happens to them? They be gassed. Huh?
They die. Yep.
Don't that baby have an umbilical cord that it breathes through and it's fed through?
Yep.
Hmm?
Exactly. Exactly.
Because
no,
they're in
no,
water.
It's the woman's body.
They are in the mama's umbilical fluid. They're underwater, floating around, having
yep.
a good time.
Yep.
Until they see
yep.
them damn snips come through, trying to cut
mm-hmm.
them up, then they run to the greatest extent that they can
yep.
hide in the womb. They see them coming. They know what it is. They run. You can see them
yep.
on x-ray, mammograms. You can see them running. You can see their face as they grinch from pain.
Yeah.
And the fear that's on their face when they see that suction tube coming in trying to suck them out. They
mm-hmm.
see their snappers coming
and
in trying to cover the pieces in the womb.
Yep. I seen that on film more than 30 years ago. I seen that. The guy named Dr. Bernard Nathanson, he used to be he was the founder of NARAL, North American, National Abortion Rights Action League. He was one of those who started that organization, but he had a change of heart after doing 10,000 abortions. And he showed a video of them performing a suction abortion. And when the suction tube entered the woman's womb, you could see the child actually back away from it, you know, kind of running away from it, you know, because the child knows that this is a foreign object that should not be in here, you know. So, you know, you brought something up right there, you know. I actually saw all that on video, so you know what you're talking about right there.
Well,
but
exactly.
You got these people,
got
they want to keep on
pushing this. Yeah, and you got fools like that person that says that is just that, they're a fool.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what they are. All they,
there's
you know, and,
you
and they
do,
don't. And,
it's one thing you want to do when you're running the fool. You want to stay away from them, and more importantly, keep your kids away from them. Go ahead.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Oh, definitely. You know, and a lot of these people, they don't even know what they're talking about. They get up there, they talk like, you know what I'm talking about. I'm intelligent and everything. You know, like this thing about Donald Trump being indicted. And this guy, he went around, you know, one of those mandatory type of things. And he was asking people, well, what has Donald Trump been arrested for? They're like, oh, for his lies. Okay, well, what lies? Okay, you need to be a little bit more specific. The lies he's been telling for the past few years. That's not being specific. He's been doing a whole bunch of, they'll get he's been doing a whole bunch of stuff. You know, he need to be indicted. Okay, what's he being indicted for? Now, Donald Trump is being indicted for 34 counts. We don't know what they are. But there, you know, what's his name? That knucklehead up in New York, Bragg. He's up there talking about, you show me the man and I'll show you the crime. But we don't know what the crime is. We really don't. We don't know what the crime is. You know, they want to talk about, you know, some hush money he paid to Stormy Daniels he violated the campaign finance terms, some crazy mess like that. But we don't know what the crime is. But no, I know what the crime is. The crime is Donald Trump being Donald Trump. That's the crime that he's been arrested for. You know, that's what he's been indicted for. You know, and they keep trying. And like I said earlier in the show, I said they keep trying. They keep trying. I mean, they keep trying to throw something at him that to see if it'll stick. Nothing has stuck. And I really do believe that these accusations against Donald Trump are bogus accusations. They have nothing to do with him being president or anything. But the liberals are getting they're getting desperate, you know. And like I said earlier in the show, I think they're getting to the point where they are so desperate that somebody is actually going to make an attempt on Donald Trump's life. Now, I'm not saying that that's going to happen. I'm not a prophet or anything like that. But I actually believe somebody is going to try to take Donald Trump out because they do not want him to be president again. This debacle they did in 2020 with the ballot harvesting, I think they're going to realize that that's not going to work anymore, and they're going to try to find some kind of way to make sure Donald Trump does not become our next president. So, and that's
well, you know, Louisiana got what's called the L.A. wallet, and it damn near uses blockchain technology to make sure we know who the hell you are. Your concealed carry license can be on that. Your driver's license, and they're working to be to put other information, whereas you don't have to carry those physical cards and papers around if you don't want to. But I want to talk about another thing. This thing in Florida about the curriculum and the history of historical characters. And they put this pictures in the paper talking about how this company made an error as it applied to Rosa Parks. It had a picture of, I guess, historical America. Roberto Clemente was not a United States. He was a Puerto Rican, by the way. So they had his picture on. But you know, the thing that gets me is that they always want to tell these stories from one side. They were talking about, and we know the story about Rosa Parks having to sit in the colored section. Okay, once she got on the bus. But it was one case when she was waiting on the bus, and the bus drivers would not stop for her, which was a problem. So there was a white woman who was sitting on the porch watching all this. So she got off the porch, came down, stood at the bus stop, so that the bus knew it was going to stop for her because she was white, then allowed Rosa Parks to board the bus. Nobody never talks about this white woman.
Wait a minute. Say that again. A white woman gets down to stop a bus for Rosa. Okay, I ain't never heard of that.
No, you have never heard about those stories. That's why come everybody's pissed off, and me and Sarge in particular, and a whole lot of others. Because I know them. I know what they do and their methodology. Nobody talks about the white woman that got off her porch, came down, stood at the bus stop after observing it from sitting there on the porch, a couple of buses go by, and she stood there because she knew that the bus drivers would stop for her because what? She's white, allowing Rosa Parks to board the bus. And they don't talk about when she had to leave the South and she went up north to what city? Detroit.
Really? Now, see, She had to leave the South
and she went up north to live, and she stayed in the house up north. Well, that house became famous, you know, because a famous person lived there. But the house came up from condemnation because it just sat there and began to deteriorate. And it was up for being demolished because it had like a $500 lien against it.
Yeah.
Detroit was about 800,000 population of blacks.
Mm-hmm.
No black person came forward to pay that $500. Even I think her daughters could pay it.
Wow.
You know who paid the $500?
White folks.
And saved the house. It was a white man and a group from Germany. They came, paid the money, disassembled the house, put it in containers,
took it to Germany,
shipped it back to Germany, reassembled it, done some modifications, well, then some repairs to it, and they put it on display where they're making money. People pay to come walk around and see it. I think the last time I heard it was in Naples on display.
Wow. See?
Couldn't come up with $500. What else was there? That would remind me of Sandra Bland. Her bill was $500, right? And all them activists that complained about her being found dead in the jail cell, well, why didn't you get $500, activists? Why didn't you get $500, family member, and get the girl out of jail, the woman out of jail? I'm sorry.
$500. But now they say that Sandra Bland was dead before, you know, they took her mugshot and all that crazy mess. They still, I don't understand the reasoning that goes behind that. People wanting to say Sandra Bland is one of those that was brutally killed by the cops. The girl killed herself, you know, and they say, well, they put her in a cell with a trash can, had a trash bag in it. Oh, like they said, okay, let's put her in this jail cell. We got a trash can with a trash bag in it. Maybe she'll take that trash bag and hang herself with it. You know, I mean, the reasoning, the reasoning people use for a lot of this stuff, it really does boggle the mind. It's like y'all think too much into this stuff, you know. But yet,
and
still,
I feel sorry for
Blackout. You know.
Yeah, I feel sorry for her because she was going to the university to interview for a job. I really do.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And even in that case, I'll say in that case, maybe the police maybe went a little overboard with how they arrested her and everything. But still, I say that because she didn't cooperate, the fault lies with her. You know,
I'll pass and they should figure it out.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the I mean, all they did was pull her over because she failed to use her turn signal when she was changing lanes. Was nothing to get all upset about or anything. You know, pay the fine,
go to court. The same thing with Tamir Rice. You remember, what was he, 12,
yeah.
13? He got, well, he had a gun.
Yeah. And what about that 911 dispatch?
The 911 dispatch didn't. She conveyed the message over to the dispatcher, which is a black female, but the dispatcher did not convey the message over the radio to the patrol car as she received it. She left out permanent information because the person that called it in the 911 said it looked like it may be a fake gun. But what it was a replica, and it didn't have a fluorescent orange tip, which in toys is required by law, and they made where they can't be removed.
Yep.
So here's the thing. Why did his parents give him a replica, which was a 1911 model? It was a CO2 pellet gun.
Yeah.
It operates with compressed air, and those things can't kill you.
Yeah, exactly.
So why did the parents give him a replica? It looked like a real gun.
When I saw that story the other day, thanks to you, you put it up in my Facebook page. I was like, oh, my goodness. The dispatcher was a black woman? I said, oh, my goodness. No, they don't say anything about it. There you go again. You know, they want to dictate the narrative to you. Oh, they just shot that boy because he was a black kid. As soon as they got there,
that's what it said. A white cop shoots black boy. That's the way the CBS News wrote it. And once again, I tell you that these news media are systemic racists because they always inflame it. They inflame a story to bring out the worst of emotions to people.
Exactly.
So the reason why I come to family settle for the six. I mean, it was because of the dispatcher. It wasn't a police officer. What the hell a police officer going to do? You pull up on the scene, somebody's holding in their hand what looks like, and surely it's not a toy because it would have had the fluorescent orange tip on it. Well, so what are you going to do?
Right.
Well, they're probably raising it, pointed at you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, I hate that the kid got killed, but look, when people have to show some sort of accountability as a parent, you wouldn't hopefully let the child give him a car to drive, would you?
No.
And one other thing real quick. In Black History, one of your favorite Black History characters is W.E.B. Du Bois.
Oh, yeah.
Du Bois was a communist. Du Bois was a communist. And he said he was a communist.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about socialism is inevitable and communism is one way to achieve it.
So
that's what he said. He said answering his own question. Where now do colored people stand? Dr. Du Bois declared, if we aim to be Americans, willing to do only what America does, think as it thinks, and say what it says, we are stupid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But these are the same people that keep telling us that we need to read history, and we read history, show it to you. No.
They don't print. See, it's only one bias. It's a biased one-sided story. And
that's
at that time, the FBI is going to be on you because you was a communist.
That's right.
Paul Robeson, communist. Angela Davis, communist. Marxist.
Mm-hmm.
And also
now,
had
Angela
white parents, white settlers who had slaves.
I had to correct you on that. That's Angela Mayflower Davis.
Angela Mayflower Davis. Angela Mayflower, I can't believe it, Davis.
Yeah, I wonder if she's recovered from that shock already. I mean, I don't like to laugh at things like that, but that was comical. That was comical when she realized she's a descendant from one of the inhabitants of the Mayflower. That was kind of comical, you know, because
yeah,
we know Angela Davis and what
slaves.
She stood for. Yep.
Well, look, you only got 2 minutes, so I don't want to take up no more time.
Okay, well, I appreciate you coming on, Pianki. Always a pleasure. I see Suzette is in the chat room, and of course Sarge is there. I don't know why he didn't call in. He probably got busy. And my sister from another mother, Retta. Always a pleasure having you guys on, and just want to let everybody know once again, first of every month, I won't be having a show. May the 20th, I won't be having a show. So, you know, just want to let everybody know that so that nobody be caught off guard and looking for my show on those times. But anyway, next week, God willing, I should be having another edition of Black by Color Only. You know, invite everybody to come on out. And if you know anyone wants to listen to this show, invite them to come out too. Be glad to have them. You all take care of yourselves. Stay safe out there. This is Vincent E. Brown. I am signing off. And until the next time, I'll see you on the rebound. You all have a good week.